next on the 5 o'clock report.
There's nothing easy about today.
Each person is wonderfully made.
It will get worse before it gets better.
I'm going to present over the next 3 weeks shocking crimes.
Rinse it, recycle it, and repeat it.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
March for Life. Good afternoon. Welcome aboard. President Trump led the parade on the National Mall today, becoming the first president to speak in person at the National March for Life in Washington.
When we see the image of a baby in the womb, we glimpse the majesty of God's creation.
During his speech, he called on Congress to pass laws that protect life.
Unborn children have never had a stronger defender in the White House. And as the Bible tells us, each person is wonderfully made.
About 100,000 pro-lifers flocked to the mall and then marched to the Supreme Court. Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute was there. He called the rally
the largest ongoing human rights march in the world. And it's all to stand for the sanctity of life, for protection of innocent human life from conception until natural
Bill
death.
Bill Young of Scranton, Pennsylvania, explaining why it was important for him to take part.
It's just a bunch of really good people. It's peaceful and solemn, and we're down here to give a voice to the voiceless.
The theme of this year's march was Life Empowers. Pro-life is pro-women. The New York State Health Department says three patients are in isolation on suspicion of having the coronavirus. This is a second confirmed case in this country. It was announced today. A woman in her 60s who had traveled recently to China being treated in Chicago.
I can reassure you that even with this Chicago case, the health risk to the general public from novel coronavirus remains low at this time.
26 deaths blamed on the bug in China. 36 million people are under a lockdown in China. Correspondent Raymond Osencia has more from China.
Between Monday and Friday of this week, the number of infected people quadrupled. The expectation is that it will get worse before it gets better.
Worldwide, the infection rate has topped 800 in seven different countries. In this country, the CDC is monitoring over 60 suspected cases in 22 states.
The absolute key is to identify people who have potential symptoms, diagnose them, isolate them, and then check to make sure any of their contacts are also not infected.
Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar. Democrats delivering their final arguments in the opening remarks stage of President Trump's impeachment trial. Lead prosecutor Adam Schiff told the Senate today the president needs to be removed from office before the next election.
This is Trump first, not America first. And the result has and will continue to be grave harm to our nation if this chamber does not stand up and say it is wrong.
But Republicans argue the prosecution has failed to prove the president did anything wrong and are repeating themselves way too much.
It became mind-numbing after a while. I got the general point you're trying to make the fourth time you told me.
It is the same thing day after day after day. Rinse it, recycle it, and repeat it.
Democrats argue the president abused his office by pressuring a foreign power to investigate a political rival. Legal analyst Jonathan Turley on the prosecution's strategy here.
They're not trying to close for a verdict. What they're trying to do is close for witnesses. They're trying to make a strong enough argument that the public is going to push moderate Republican senators to vote for witnesses.
Tomorrow, the president's legal team begins its defense starting at 10 a.m. President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, says he will be releasing evidence soon on corruption on the part of Joe Biden in Ukraine.
I'm going to present over the next 2 to 3 weeks shocking crimes at the highest levels while the Senate is listening to a totally phony group of stories about non-impeachable offenses.
Giuliani interviewed on Fox and Friends this morning.
I prosecuted too many corruption cases to sit by and watch my country sold out by a vice president who did it two other times at least. This ends hopefully with Biden finally being put under investigation.
And after a 16-year NFL career, New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning said goodbye today.
There's nothing easy about today. Wellington Mara always said, once a Giant, always a Giant. For me, it's only a giant.
And Sonny will have much more on the retirement announcement coming up in sports. Also ahead, why some are saying a longer state fair is just unfair to county fairs. New employment numbers in Pennsylvania and fidgety U.S. senators.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life weather forecast. The call for tonight, cloudy skies. Expect some rain to overspread western New York and western Pennsylvania where it is not already, and there will be a little ice in spots. Elsewhere, it's dry most of the night, temperatures dipping toward the freeze point. For your Saturday, it's periods of rain, snow, an icy mix for some in the morning. Watch for some slippery travel, particularly from the Finger Lakes into the Twin Tiers. The later in the day, temperatures reach the 30s to near 40. Could be a couple of ranges of snow accumulating over the high ground of that same region. And on Sunday, cloudy and brisk, occasional snow and flurries, and temperatures mostly in the 30s.
All right, sounds complicated. Thank you, Kevin. Pennsylvania's unemployment rate rose in December for the fourth straight month. Payrolls shrank as the labor force participation rate hit another record high. Unemployment in the Commonwealth now at 4.5%. That is a full percentage point higher than the national average. Fiscal watchdogs in New York predict a tax hike as a result of the state's more than $6 billion deficit this year. Jason McGuire is with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom.
So I think you're going to see some taxes being raised on what they will say are wealthy New Yorkers. Unfortunately, the definition of wealthy is the person who has more than you.
Yeah.
So that's likely what that's going to come down, as well as new fees and perhaps some expanding gambling opportunities as well.
Lawmakers have until the 1st of April to reach a deal on a $178 billion budget. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf is developing a plan to help deal with the state's aging school buildings. He says too many students are exposed to lead paint and asbestos. During his budget speech set for February 4th, the governor will petition state lawmakers to devote financial resources to remediation efforts. The Danville Area School District in Montour County, Pennsylvania, is shortening the length of the school day starting next fall. High school teacher John Keller says 35% of students are suffering from anxiety, stress, and depression.
I notice it from students. I had a class where there were a group of students that came in after having been in another very difficult class, and there were two of them that were in tears to the point where I couldn't go on with my lesson because of the stress.
So instead of starting classes at 7:30 in the morning, the opening bell will ring at 8 o'clock beginning next fall in Danville.
I'm excited for the later start so I can get more sleep, and I think that we can get the same amount done in a shorter school day.
The Danville Area School District currently has the longest school day of all of the 12 schools in the central Susquehanna region. Starting Monday, this coming Monday, Wegmans will no longer offer plastic grocery bags in New York. Zach Woolridge manages the Wegmans in Elmira.
The main thing is that we're getting ahead of the New York State plastic ban. We're just a little bit before that. And our main point is that we're able to make a difference in our community, in their environment, by using less plastic bags after this, which we fully support.
The statewide plastic bag ban takes effect March 1st. A plan by Governor Cuomo to extend the life of the New York State Fair getting a thumbs down at the county level. The move would impact at least 8 county fairs across the state, and that could deal a serious blow to the agriculture industry.
So if they have to choose between us and the state fair, that's a significant decrease, one way or the other, whichever fair they choose, in their revenue.
Jessica Underbridge runs the largest county fair in New York, the Erie County Fair.
It impacts livestock exhibitors. It impacts the business model of people who plan on that revenue.
In his budget speech this week, Governor Cuomo proposed extending the life of the New York State Fair by 1 week starting next year. Greece police near Rochester say a parent who did not have custody of his child took the boy from school this morning. Happened at the Autumn Lane Elementary School. The man took his 2-year-old son from a dismissal area. Investigators say the child was taken by force. The father reportedly shoved and then hit with his vehicle the principal, who tried to stop the man from leaving the school grounds with the child. Authorities are still looking for both the father and the 2-year-old boy. Governor Cuomo drawing up new regulations for the legalization of electronic scooters and electronic bicycles.
It is, frankly, right now the Wild West when it comes to e-bikes and e-scooters. We need clear laws We need clear rules. We need clear regulations.
He says transportation alternatives are necessary in the big city.
We need an alternative to automobiles driving in New York City. The volume is paralyzing. The cost is prohibitive. It is environmentally destructive.
Some city lawmakers, though, are pushing back against the proposal, saying e-bikes and e-scooters would only make the streets of New York more dangerous. It is time next for your nightly market report, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors, Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks falling today after the second U.S. case of the deadly coronavirus was confirmed, stroking concerns over the sickness's impact on the global economy. The Dow was down 170 points, the Nasdaq fell 88, and the S&P 500 dropped 30. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
All right, Dave, thank you. You're plugged into the 5 o'clock report, a Friday edition on Family Life.
Here's our expert, Rob West, with today's MoneyWise Minute.
Drawing up a budget isn't complicated. At the beginning of each month, you just allocate that month's income to various categories on paper. Then you make sure your actual spending is less than your income. But what if you don't know how much you'll spend each month? That calls for variable income budgeting, and here's how to do it. Start with what you do know. Determine your average monthly income for the last 6 months. Then you can draw up an estimated budget based on that number. With any kind of budget, the key is always to spend less than you earn. So when your income varies, it's critical that you save the excess in months when you earn more so that you'll build up enough to meet your needs in the lean months when you earn less.
Hey, need some help getting started with this? Well, connect with a MoneyWise coach at our website, which is moneywise.org. Write it down, moneywise.org.
Bye-bye, Eli. Sonny's got your drive home sports.
Yeah, he said goodbye, and some said, can you continue to play? Yeah, but...
I think it was the right thing to call it a career and to end it instead of trying to uproot my family and leave try somewhere else. This was the right decision, and I know it is, and I'm at peace with it. I think that's what has made this day a little bit easier.
Manning played 16 seasons for the New York Giants, guiding Big Blue to a pair of Super Bowl championships, one of only 5 players in NFL history to win the Super Bowl MVP twice, and one of only 3 quarterbacks to play in 210 consecutive games or more. Congratulations, first ballot Hall of Famer, Manning. NFL Pro Bowl happens this Sunday at 3 in Orlando, and NHL All-Star Weekend in St. Louis begins tonight with the skills competition. Tomorrow, it's the All-Star Game with 3-on-3 tournaments between 4 teams representing the league's 4 divisions. Jack Eichel, part of the fun. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delviette.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We've got some messy weather ahead, no question about it. An area of low pressure will bring our region rain, ice, and snow this weekend. Nobody will get buried, nobody will get blasted, but travelers over the next 48 hours will need to be prepared for changing road conditions in the area from wet to ice to snow. The call for tonight, cloudy skies. Expect some rain to overspread western New York and western Pennsylvania where it is not already, and there will be a little ice in spots. Elsewhere, it's dry most of the night, temperatures dipping toward the freeze point. For your Saturday, it's periods of rain, snow, and icy mix for some in the morning. Watch for some slippery travel, particularly from the Finger Lakes into the Twin Tiers. The later in the day, temperatures reach the 30s to near 40. Could be a couple 3 inches of snow accumulating over the high ground of that same region. Then on Sunday, cloudy and brisk, occasional snow and flurries, and temperatures mostly in the 30s.
All right, we'll keep our eye on it. Thank you, Kevin. Finally, at 5, back to the impeachment trial. And what exactly are those senators doing during the proceeding? We can't see them because the camera's turned the wrong way. Need to turn the camera back so we keep them under check. They're supposed to be taking notes, sitting at their desk, listening intently to those House managers and the president's lawyers. But some aren't playing by the rules.
I can tell you that Rand Paul has excellent either freehand or tracing drawing skills. He's working on a very nice picture of the U.S. Capitol in his notebook right now. And Marsha Blackburn, the new senator from Tennessee, was reading a book.
Reporter Garrett Hake says that's not all. Dianne Feinstein left early last night. Bernie Sanders took a nap. Elizabeth Warren was caught doodling. Some are even playing with toys to help them cope with the boredom.
In a throwback to 2017 or so, there are a number of senators on the floor who have fidget spinners today to help keep at least their hands occupied, although their minds could still be paying attention.
Yeah, we hope so anyway. North Carolina's Richard Burr seen passing out those fidget spinners.
Ouch.
So my solution to this is turn the camera so we can see the senators.
Mm-hmm.
So they stop with the shenanigans.
So Bob wants a Big Brother version of the Senate.
Get one of those, like, drones. You know?